He's the only man who every time he sees me smiles. I'm going to increase that. He's the only human being. Nobody sees me and always smiles except Alex Ilenga. I don't know what that means, but I know it means something. A young man walked in here. I don't know. Time to me doesn't make any difference anymore. What is it? Last week or 15 years ago? 21 years ago? I'm really old. And he was smiling and skinny as a rail. And I heard the story about him walking. Was it 30 miles? Am I remembering right? Yeah. 30 miles to go to a library to study. And then back to his village. And you don't hear these stories in America. They just don't. And so we did something we never did with anybody else. Somebody came up and said, can we have Alex say hi and greet the he's got a messianic congregation in Zambia. I didn't even know where Zambia was. And I couldn't imagine any Jews living there. But I've learned quite a bit, and the tenacity and the vision that God has given us to our brother has just flourished from this little seed into this forest of trees, and it's borne fruit. And now Jay and Pam will be going. They've gone over a number of times to Zambia, and they've literally been called to speak before royalty in that continent, and specifically in that country, and they're bringing the word of God almost in a way like Paul did. It's just a fascinating thing to observe and to hear about. This congregation has been supporting the work in Zambia now for 21 years, and if the Lord tarries, it'll be another 21, I suspect. Amen. Unless you stop smiling at me, in which case, you know, all the bets are off. So without further ado, I would ask you to start coming up here so that I just don't continue to ramble. Because I'm not really here either. You see, he's smiling. He's smiling. You're always smiling.
You're a handsome man.
Come out to my house. You'll help me out.
Right.
Let's pray for him. Lord God, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for the blessing of bestowing upon him a wife, a Proverbs 31 wife, and all the children, and all the girls that you have given to him. Lord God, you have anointed my brother to speak your words to people, to unstop their ears and open their eyes, Lord God, to behold the living God in their midst. I pray, Father, that the anointing of your Holy Spirit would fall upon him today and fill his mouth, Lord God, as he tells us about the good news that comes to us from faraway places and brings joy to the hearts and souls of all those who proclaim Yeshua, who Adon. We pray these things in the blessed name that is above all others, Yeshua. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Shabbat shalom. Yeah, it's always such an honor to just be here. And I just see the Lord's faithfulness over the years. He's a faithful God who knows what he's doing. And I can tell you that this is his congregation. Yes, I just want to say thank you very much for not only standing with us in Zambia from the time the Lord planted us, but also other places throughout the world. The Lord has used this congregation in many other places to expand and extend the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. It's all because of your faithfulness, all because of your trust in Him. Yeah, He's a good God, and I believe He's got a lot more things planned for us. Yeah, so I do bring greetings from Zambia, and I also bring greetings from the Lemba Jews. The Lemba Jews are Africans who are Jewish descent. They left Israel during the time of Nehemiah, and they settled mostly in Zimbabwe, but moved on to Zambia, northern South Africa, and western Mozambique. Yeah, so the first time they met another Jew was when Jay came to Zambia. And he was like telling me, we have to go and do ministry to the Lemba Jews. And we went, just outside of Lusaka, the city where I live. And it took us 2 days to just get through to them. They keep to themselves. Finally, the Lord opened the door. We began sharing with them. And they kept looking at Jay. Oh, and I was like, is everything okay, guys? They were like, is he Jewish, your friend? I was, yeah, he's Jewish. And they're like, how come he's white? They've never seen another Jew. So they were so excited to know that, wow, we're actually part of a large body of coming from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah, so please continue praying for the Lemba Jews. So far we've reached over 2,000 of them. Yeah, yeah, we've given Bibles, yes. We've given Bibles, we've given shoes to the children. Many of them are very poor. We've given clothing as well. But above all, we pray that we'll be able to plant a congregation there. The Lord has also opened new doors for us. We're now working in Malawi, where we've planted two congregations. Malawi is a country east of Zambia. So we've planted two congregations in Malawi. We've also planted a congregation in the Congo. Some of you have heard of the Congo, when the Lord has now allowed us to be working there. The Lord has also helped us to come along other young Messianic congregations in Ethiopia and in Zimbabwe as well. Yes, so we are working there. And besides that, the Lord has also brought in, as you heard from Rabbi Bet, royalty, different kings and queens in Africa who have been seeking and searching for the living God. Where I come from, we have over 200 gods. And these kings and queens, about 20 of them went to Israel. And two of them specifically prayed when they were in Israel, asking the great God of Israel to say, if you are indeed God, can you send one of your own to come to our kingdoms and bless our land? And guess what happens? Jay and Pam, they come to Zambia, and Jay was like, you know what, we have to go up north. I'm like, there's nothing much there. You know, why don't we do some work here? He was like, we have to go. Okay, so we ended up going up north, and man, that was an answer to prayer. This king represents over 200,000 people. He has come to faith. He has given his life to faith. His tribe has not yet, but we pray that the Lord will just keep working on his heart, and it will infiltrate to his people. The Queen of the Gower is a different story. Her entire tribe came to faith, 50,000 people. Yes, so we are just blessing the Lord. We still have our congregations in Zambia. Some of them are in the middle of nowhere, but they love the Lord. They love the Lord. We have people who walk like 2 days just to get to a Passover Seder, and people walk for hours on Friday just to come and attend Shabbat, spend the entire day, and head back on Sunday just to hear the word of the living God. Yeah, so this is happening not only in Zambia, but throughout Africa. The Lord has also allowed us to take care of orphans. Africa has been plagued with a lot of deaths, and so many children who have been left without parents. Right now, we have 52 million orphans throughout Africa, and you have 10-year-olds taking care of, you know, their young siblings and stuff like that. But my wife, Faye, who was an orphan as well, she's got a heart for these kids, and we've been taking care of over 300 of them. We have a day school. We also have an orphanage. At the day school, we teach them how to read and write. We give them a meal. Sometimes that's their only meal that they get. We provide school supplies. But above all, we teach them about the great God of Israel. We teach them about Yeshua. Teach them about the values of scripture, of good work, of honesty, respect for authority, and all those things you may not get in school. And the Lord has rewarded our work. Our kids have been doing extremely well. We've had 100% pass rate, over the years. As I speak, we have 58 schools in our school district. We are second in terms of academics. And these are kids from the street. So we are so excited about, yes. And we also pray for you guys. And we've continued to do our radio outreach. There are many places where we can't reach. Even if you have a car, there are no roads. And so many people have not heard the gospel. I don't know if you knew this, but about 50% of the world right now, they have not been reached by the gospel of Messiah Yeshua. Yeah, there's still work to be done. Yes, and we are called to reach out to our people. For me, reaching out to our Jewish people and to those of the nations, if we want to see revival, let's reach out to our Jewish people. Then we're going to have that life from the dead experience, and then the nations will begin to come in. Yeah, so continue praying that the Lord will continue opening doors, not only for us, but for others who are also reaching out to those who are lost. My message today is coming from John 14, verse 1, and it is, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. These are the words of Yeshua before he went up to be with the Father. And the Bible reads, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. You are not here on earth by accident. Yeah, you're not a coincidence. You are here by the Lord's design and by his divine will. The great God of Israel, who is so great, who sees the end from the beginning, he planned that you were to be born at such a time as this. He planned your gender, your race, the place where you are to be born, and you've got a mission, and you are on a mission. The enemy knows all that. The enemy knows the potential that lies in you. That is the spirit of the living God whom he has put in you. He knows how powerful that spirit is. And he wants to discourage you, to distract you from knowing who you are and especially your mission. When the Lord looks at you, he sees something that most of us don't see. It's like the story of Gideon in the book of Judges. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, I think in Judges 7, and he addressed him as a mighty warrior and told him that he was going to save and deliver our people. And Gideon looked at himself. He said, who am I? I'm a nobody. You know, I come from a poor tribe. I'm the least in my father's house. But that's not what the Lord saw when he looked at him. And that's exactly the same with us. When the Lord looks at you, he sees something different. He says, you are more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors. He knows why you were born at a time like this one. And this is a time to also see and overcome the tricks of the enemy. He knows if we are troubled, then we will not concentrate. He knows if we are troubled, then we'll get distracted. Then we'll focus on ourselves and instead of focusing on what the Lord has for each one of us. The enemy knows the enormous power that lies within you through the Spirit of the living God. We see this a lot in Africa, where there's a lot of witchcraft and voodoo, where people send spells to try and stop you from preaching the gospel. When you bring transformation or try to bring change, the enemy just comes after you. It has happened many times. Even with friends coming from this country, they've experienced strange things. Yeah, but the Spirit of the Lord in us always overcomes. Always overcomes. And the enemy, those who practice voodoo, they've always said one thing. There is a ring of fire around each and every child of the living God. That is who you are in God. He lives in you. He is with you every second of the day. So the enemy knows your potential, and one of his tactics and plots is to mentally wear you down through a number of circumstances or factors that are planned to kind of make us lose faith, confidence, power, and a resolve to live out our faith. The enemy is using the breakdown of morals in our society and countries to make us feel that ours is a lost cause. Ours has never been a lost cause. The great God of Israel has never lost a single war, a single battle. At the mention of the name of Yeshua, demons tremble. Even when he came for a mission to redeem those who were possessed with demons, whenever they saw him, they cried out. They cried out, "Why are you here to destroy us?" He was here to redeem us. Our God is powerful. But the enemy is using what is going on around us to discourage us, to bring confusion to us, to bring discouragement, to make us feel trapped, to make us feel angry at what is going on. Wickedness is increasing, as scripture said. Lawlessness, wickedness will just increase. Even in the body, we have people having the form of religion by denying the power. And when you see wrong, if you're a child of God, the natural thing to do is to just get upset. But when we are so consumed with being upset with what is going on, we lose focus of what the Lord has called us to be and to do. Sometimes the enemy wants us to feel trapped, to think that we are facing impossible odds. We look around, it's like, this can never be undone. This can never happen, but we must know that we serve a God of impossibilities. Amen. He is a God who tells us of things that are just impossible all the time. Right now, it is telling us one day Israel shall be saved. You go, you do missions to Jewish people. Most of the times you come back, it's like it's not working. But the Lord knows what he's doing. You look around the world, there are places, 52 countries, as I speak right now, where the preaching of the gospel is banned. But the Lord says he's going to bring people from every nation. It will happen. It's not ours to know how, but it's for us to praise him that it will happen. Many of God's children today are troubled by so many things going on in their family, in their lives. We talk of the politics, the economy, the divisions in the body of Messiah, the diseases out there, the ungodliness in our society and schools, the hatred between peoples and even races, the breakdown of family, all these things may make the future look so uncertain. But for God's children, the future is as bright as his promise. The psalmist says, I've been young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed, their children, begging for bread. The great God of Israel promises to take care of your children to the 1,000th generation as you obey him. If we are not careful, the condition of the world right now can give us a meltdown. The world has the potential of causing us so much distress and anxiety that we may lose our focus, lose our identity in him. But the Lord is telling us, don't worry. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. This calls for us to know who is our God. And Mark 13, verse 7 reads, and when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be troubled, for such things must come to be, but the end shall not yet be. We must realize that the enemy is trying to use every tactic to cause us alarm, to cause us concern. A troubled heart gives birth to fear, and fear is not good when it comes to faith. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Fear will immobilize our faith. It will cause our faith to malfunction. It will make us ineffective when it comes to our mission in this world. It will make us doubt our God and make us think that the enemy is maybe bigger and better than our God. Trouble in the heart will steal what is the most important thing, one of the most important things in our lives, and that is joy. And when we have no joy, we kind of close the door to missions. There's no way the world will be attracted to us when we are stressed out, we are down, we are almost out, when we don't know what it is to be joyful. But as we allow the Lord to live in us, as we allow him to lead us, he gives us a joy that no man can take away from us, that a joy that money cannot buy. And the world gets attracted to that joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And there's a commandment in the Brihadasha, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Where there's worry, where there's anxiety, there's little room for happiness. The Lord created us to enjoy life. Yeshua says, I came that you may have life and have it to the full. And happiness is part of that. And where there's no happiness, there's a jailed soul. So what is the antidote to worry? I believe it's a simple faith in our God. Knowing who our God is, what he has done, and what he has promised to do. I believe this is a time for us to confront worry. We can't change anything by worrying. We can change things by praying. There are certain things that are within our influence, and there are many things that are beyond our influence, and those are in the hands of the living God. Worry is the opposite of faith. It is a worship, in my opinion, it's a worship of the forces of nature, the dynamics of the market, the belief that other men, mostly politicians, have power over our lives. But that's not what the Lord is saying. The Lord says our lives are in his hands. No one can take us away from him. Faith, on the other hand, is the inner knowledge that there is really nothing else out there but abundant love. His abundant love flowing to us in ways that are often far beyond our comprehension. Our God is all about love. Even when things are hard, He still loves us. Faith is knowing that nothing touches His children without His permission. It's knowing that whatever is allowed to touch His children, whether good or bad, was meant to produce a positive spiritual effect. But how can we be fearless in a world that seems to be in self-destruct mode? As I said, it is knowing who our God is. We need to focus on Him. If we depend on our own strength, if we depend on our own wisdom and resources, we're going to be disappointed. We cannot buy people into the kingdom, but we can pray people into the kingdom. This is a time to focus and depend on our God. It's all about Him. It has nothing to do with us. He started this work. He's the one who commissioned us. He's the one who's coming to complete the harvest. This is a time to ask Him for strength. And this is a time to build spiritual strength as well. How do we do that? One way is found in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Yet those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Wait upon the Lord. Many times we want to see things happening around us, but the act of just waiting upon Him will build us into spiritual giants. Psalms 56, verse 3, the Bible says, "What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in Thee." The many things we don't understand in the world, the many things that will cause us alarm and fear out there in the world. You read the news on Israel over the years, it's like this is the last day. The enemy will come and swallow Israel. But the Lord said, He never slumbers nor sleeps. He who keeps Israel. This is also a time to grow our faith by hearing what our God is doing, because it's important when it comes to what we take in, what we listen to. Romans 10, verse 7 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Lately, many of God's children are listening to what the enemy is doing. All the destruction the enemy is doing, what he's doing among his people and so forth, and that can be discouraging. That can take away from your faith. How about listening to what our God is doing? Yes, our God may be quiet, but He's not still. He's always on the move. He's always doing something. Our God is working. What about what things He has done in your life? The miracles, the encounters, the experiences that in your heart of hearts you know it is Him, it was Him. Stand on those. Think upon those. Where I come from, the Lord is doing great things. Yes, the enemy is fighting back. In the Islamic world, there are very few missionaries who go there. I don't know if you knew this, but there's only one missionary for every 460,000 Muslims. 99.9% of missionaries who go out to preach the gospel go to places that have already been evangelized. There's one missionary to every 200,000 Hindus. One missionary to 60,000 tribal people. Some don't even have anyone preaching to them, like the Bushmen, where I come from, in Namibia there, which is in west of Zambia. But the Lord said this: His word was going to go into all the earth and reach every human being under heaven. Because we don't want to follow His strategy, we go where it's comfortable. he's been appearing among many Muslims. As I speak today, in Africa, we have 1.3 billion people, 630 million are Bible believers. There are more Bible believers now than Muslims.
Amen.
In Africa. Every day, 16,000 Muslims, about 16,000 Muslims are coming to faith. We hear stories that can be verified. There's one imam, very powerful imam. For 1 month, Yeshua appeared to him every night in a dream, telling him that he is the Messiah of Israel. He is the way, the truth, and the life. After a month, he called his students, and I'm talking of 400 imams, and he told them who the true Messiah was. 400 imams came to faith. Yes. I was thinking when I was reading this, over the years, the Lord has allowed me to bring in about two imams. And I've been a believer longer than this guy. And he's brought in 400. It's like, wow. Praise the Lord. We need more like him.
Amen.
Yeshua has been appearing even to young Muslim children, like a 12-year-old. He appeared to her. She came to faith. I met one guy, he's originally from Egypt. This guy was a terrorist. He was sown to the destruction of Israel and Bible believers, Christians. And the Lord appeared to him, told him to go and find this man who had a Bible. And he appeared at this man's house, who was a secret believer. He was so scared. He told him that the Lord told me to come and you have a word for me. He gave him the Bible. He's one of the sweetest people I've ever met. How real is Yeshua to you? Are you ready to tell the world about your Yeshua? If someone were to show up at your door and they're there, it's like, I want to know about your God. Are we able to tell him about this great God? You have what the world is dying for. You have the word of the living God. It's not about the feel-good experience. It's about what he has said. It's about what he wants to do through you and me. What is our God doing? Our God is doing so many things. There's one region in Africa, about 3 years ago, there was no Bible believer out there, maybe secret Bible believers. Within 2 years, there are over 4,000 congregations and churches that have been planted. Nothing can stop our God. Nothing can pause his will for you and for what he's about to do. However, we want to see the miracles. We want to see all these things. But you have the word, which is more important than the miracle. It's the word that will bring us before his throne. It's the word that changes us. It's the word that the Spirit uses to speak to us, to remind us of his will for our lives. So if you can't see his hand, trust his heart. We are safe in him, even if we may not know what tomorrow may bring. These are also days of courageous living. Yes, there are difficulties. There's opposition. The enemy knows his time is short. He's furious. And he'll come after you. He'll come after me. He'll try to discourage you. He'll show you all the negative things. But you have a precious thing you're carrying. Your faith is precious. And it's not just for you. It's for everyone else. Because the Lord says you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. These are the days to be courageous. These are the days to allow the Lord to work through us. But above all, these are the days to trust in Him. He runs an entire universe. Many times we want to be in the driver's seat. It's easy to know where we're coming from. It's called experience. But the future requires faith.
Yep. Amen.
We need faith. We need to grow our faith. We need to ask Him to give us more faith. We're dealing with a world that thinks we are not. We're dealing with situations that we may never have dealt with before. But the Lord is with us. What should we worry about? I'll say nothing, because our God is in control. He's in control even of powerful countries. There are over 200 countries. When He looks at the earth, it's nothing, less than a speck of dust. He's in control of the politics of the day. Even if they seem so confusing, so painful, He has power over all the enemies of truth. What can we pray for? We should pray for everything, because we were created to participate and to influence the future of this world, to impact those around us. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. This is a time to be strong, my friends. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. In order for us to be strong in the Lord, we must know the Lord's strength. If we are to withstand the storms of life, the vicious assaults of the enemy, we have to look up to the Lord. We have to understand His power and aspire to stand in the center of His will. Our God is in control, and He's got jurisdiction over all things, over all nations, over all systems, over all peoples. The great God of Israel is the first cause. He is the effective cause, and He is the final cause of all things. Our God is the source. He is the sustainer. He is the significance of all things. He is the power over all things, or behind all things. The great God of Israel knows what He is doing, even when we don't know or can't see what He is doing. He has no equal. Nothing stands in His way. Nothing is beyond Him. He'll protect you. He is the one who started the work in your life. He is the one who came looking for you and me. It's very clear about that. You did not choose me, I chose you. Our God is a fighter, and He knows how to win. Nothing is difficult or impossible with our God. His plan has not gone wrong, not at all. He is on time, and as He has everything under His control, including the enemy.
Yes.
I want to encourage you to look up to your God, because you are special. Stand on His word and know that your faith, your life, is not tied to the politics. It's not tied to the economy or the state of affairs around the world. It is tied to your God. Many of our people in the Bible, they lived during difficult times under civilizations that were very pagan, but they flourished. The darker the night, the brighter the light. This is an opportunity for you and me to shine even brighter for our Yeshua. He'll take care of you. Philippians 1, verse 6. I'm sure of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Messiah Yeshua. Let Him do what He's doing. For God's children, the future is as bright as the promise. May you continue to stand for your God May you look at yourself through his eyes. May he bless you. Shabbat shalom.
We're going to take up an offering for Alex. And, you know, we support a lot of ministries. And the ministries that we support are the ones who are actually boots on the ground. They're actually in the streets. They're the ones who bring the messages. Lots of people talk. Then there are those who do. And our brother has been, for even before he got here, so I would assume about 25 years or so, he's been out there bringing the good news, and he has faced some very serious resistance. He lives in an Islamic country, and the resistance to the good news has been monumental, and yet our brother has faithfully been out there starting congregations, speaking to imams, speaking to everybody who God brings across his path. I used to say he's a blessed young man. He's not that young anymore, so he's getting older. But he's one of the most blessed men of God that I've had the privilege to meet in my life. Please be generous. You are helping not just feed people in their bellies, but feed their souls as well. Amen. Father, in Yeshua's name, I thank you for my brother Alex, for his faithfulness in hearing with clarity your word, to allowing you to lead him wherever you would want him to be, for the fearlessness to proclaim the good news before those who would threaten, those who would seek to do anyone who follows you harm. Thank you for the strength that you have imbibed him with. Thank you for the joy of his soul. The smile on his face is but a small portion of the light and the joy of the neshama that you have breathed into him. It's that light that touches the hearts and souls of others. Grace him, ere he goes. Bless his family, keep them safe. And may your anointing be upon this offering to feed many, to clothe many, and to bring the words of life to many. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.